our feet out. Socks off, feet on show. Well, not my guest, though, I have to say, unless she's kept her boots firmly on. My guest on the sofa today is what I think is a very brave woman. Jane Sheehan is a foot reader. You may well have seen her on television practising her art. Well, she's going to be coming to Suffolk for a couple of seminars in a couple of weeks and has popped in here ahead of that visit. She's written several books, including Let's Read Our Feet, and her latest is Soul Trader, the Holistic Therapy Business Handbook, and it's all about setting up international business as well. So I think if we do this in two bits, as we normally do anyway, but we'll talk a bit about you in the second one and talk about our feet in the first one, if that's
great,
all right.
Yes.
And I know Sharon, because I Facebooked this before the weekend, saying if you send photos through that you'll have a look at those. And Sharon Lanham did that. She did a whole variety. Great pictures of feet.
I know. I thought it was fabulous. I've just written down a few notes to prompt myself of what was in the picture. So Sharon, and anybody else who's listening, if you have a very short little toe, shorter than the others, you have a great sense of fun.
That's me as well, isn't it?
That's right, you've got that too. You have a great sense of fun and an appreciation of the simple things in life, like jumping in puddles, kicking leaves, smelling flowers. And as Sharon sent us the photograph from her hot tub, I think I'm right in that. And then there was some interesting information on her big toe, her second toe and her fourth toe. What she was telling me was, in the way she's thinking at the moment, when it comes to her emotional life and her private life and her core beliefs, she's trying to make extra headroom to think every last detail out for herself before she delivers her idea. She doesn't want any external influence. But when she does deliver the idea, it'll be like a fait accompli, because she forgets to tell them how long she's been thinking about it for. So this is a character trait that she's working with at the moment. On the ball of her foot, on the left foot, I think it was, she had what looked like a blister. And we all know we get blisters from the shoes rubbing. So we would read that as emotional friction. But I will be more specific. It's to do with her self-esteem. Someone is rubbing up her the wrong way and she's coming off worst. It's affecting her self-esteem. So I would say a little bit more work needs to be done there to make them back off and to make you know that you're fine the way you are.
So when you look at a foot or feet, what are you looking at?
I'm looking for distortions in the feet. We all know what we expect.
And you look at both
feet,
like, don't you?
Yeah. I read the right foot for past issues and the left foot for present issues. And I'm looking for colour changes while I'm talking to them. I'm looking for distortions in the toes, so if they're kind of curved or tilted and they're not balanced and central the way they're supposed to be. I'm looking for things like corns, verrucas, athlete's foot.
So do they all mean something as opposed to just being itchy and horrible?
Yeah, they all have an interpretation, and then where they are on the foot, we have a foot map. And we also interpret exactly where it is on the foot to give us more detail. So I know it sounds absolutely bonkers, you know, but I've been doing this since 1999. And the more feet I've seen, the more I've been able to benchmark. And so I know what works, what doesn't work. And when I read the people, the one thing I pride myself on is being accurate. So if I don't think I'm going to be accurate, I won't say it.
And can you, do you ever see people's feet and think, oh, I can't tell them about themselves, they're too horrible?
No, I've never. I have seen horrible feet, mind you.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you have rubber gloves?
There's always a way of saying something negative positively. So let's say all of your tips of your toes were square looking rather than rounded. I would know that you were stubborn, but rather than say stubborn, I'll say you're tenacious in the face of adversity, because that sounds more like a superpower.
That's, Sarah and I are now going to listen very carefully to what you say about us. Did you finish, Sharon? Sorry.
There's loads more, but we want to read your feet as well, don't we?
Okay, you had a quick look at mine, didn't you?
I did.
Can you remember all right?
Yeah, I can. Your second and and your third toes were both elongated.
This is both feet as well, isn't it?
On both feet. Yeah. They were both elongated more than we would expect.
Makes
them
me
to
sound
be.
You've got this image, haven't you? Now I can just see. Just I'll put feet. I'll perhaps I'll photo my feet later on.
And let me also intimate that whilst yours were on both feet, Sarah's was only on her left foot. So Sarah is beginning to develop these characteristics, but she wasn't born with them. These are new skills that are coming into play. So I think you might be rubbing off on her. So what it says about you, elongated second toe is natural leadership qualities. And if you're not in a leadership role, you can become bossy. And then the elongated third toe is about having lots of drive and determination that you can do twice as much as the next person given the same time and resources. But you'd hate delegating because they can't do half what you could do given the same time and resources. And so what I'm saying is
I think I can do it better.
Yes.
So I don't pass it on.
Yeah.
Excellent.
You've always been like that, whereas Sarah is developing that. You weren't born with that.
She's catching it from me.
So I'm wondering if you're rubbing off on each other.
Literally following in your footsteps.
Very good.
And there was something else on your foot, Leslie. The second toes were leaning towards the little toe. And that means, in terms of your emotions, you're in a rush for the future. So I would say impatient, wanting to run before you could walk. So impatient. But they were more like that on the left foot than the right. So you're becoming more like that now, although you did have a modicum of that in the past.
So I'm getting so that I want to look ahead all the time rather than live in the moment. Yeah?
Emotionally. Yeah.
Emotionally.
And it was also like that in the area to do with your doing energy. So work-wise, you're also looking ahead rather than focusing on what's immediately in front of you. And it was interesting to look at your feet, Sarah. So often people in the same jobs tend to have similar characteristics. And although you've got the third toe is tilted towards the little toe, indicating this idea of forward planning, looking at the next steps, hers is only on the left foot.
So it's not been in the past?
It's not in the past. It's something she's now doing that she wasn't doing in the past. In the past, she was more focused work-wise on the here and now. Whereas now, you're focused on the next steps, what's happening next. Let's look ahead. Yeah.
Does every toe count for something? Do you look at every?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Big toes are all about thoughts, beliefs, ideas, and self-esteem is tied up with that, because if someone's knocking your thoughts and beliefs, you know what's going to happen to your self-esteem. Second toes is about emotions. Third toes is about action, doing, creativity. Fourth toes about private life, relationships, who you relate to, family life. And the little toes are about sense of security and how you want to move forward and take the next step. So I'm just remembering, on the outside edge of your left foot, Leslie, you had what looked to me, I call it a hovercraft skirt, which doesn't sound very flattering. But it's when a ledge starts
forming. I could look like an ordinary toe myself.
A ledge starts forming on the outside edge of your foot, wider than you would expect it to be given the foot shape. And this is when you're making elbow room to think about your plans for the future. And it was at its widest when it came to the idea of what you're going to be doing next, and also about your private life.
So I seem to be looking ahead quite a lot. Is that
well,
right?
I would see that. That's more specific. That one's about thinking through your plans for the next step, but not having put them into action yet. But the fact they're going outside the lines of the foot tells me that's about thinking through major change rather than just like, what shall I have for tea tonight? You know, it's bigger than that. It's something that takes time and planning. So you're at the beginning stages of thinking that through.
What if it's just that I wore shoes that were too tight for me?
Would have gone the opposite direction. Shoes do have an impact, obviously. Mm. But I also have a friend who's a shoe reader, and I agree with her
really?
That you pick your shoes based on your personality. There are some shoes that you wouldn't even pick up in a shop because you think, oh, I won't be seen dead in this. And also, if you're anything like me, you have shoes in your wardrobe that you buy and never wear. They're the shoes you aspire to be, not who you already are. So, yeah, you pick shoes based on your personality as
Anything
well.
Else about Sarah that I need to... She's got her foot out.
Yeah, I'm just trying to refresh my memory. So, oh, yeah, yeah.
Something that I need to know when I'm working with her, look, because we haven't worked together that long, have we?
Now,
no.
You need to be aware of covert rebel tendencies.
Oh, yes.
Is this me or her?
It's, I can't remember which way around it was. Was it your nose?
I've got them, haven't I?
Yeah, that's right. You've got the covert rebel and you've got the rebel. So,
I'm a hidden rebel and she's
at least I admit it.
Yes. When you're an out and out rebel, your little toes are on their side with the nails pointing to the side of the room. So you don't care who knows it. So that's unconventional, rebellious, my way or the highway. But when your little toe looks straight, as if the nail's looking at the ceiling the way it ought to be, but it's so close to your fourth toe that your fourth toe is hiding half of the toe. And when we move the fourth toe out of the way, we realise that the little toe is really on its side. That is covert rebel, doing the window dressing to appear to fit in and do what's expected. All the rules behind the scenes.
Had I conned you? Did you think I was conventional?
I didn't realise. I'm going to look out for you at the weekends now.
I think we need a bit more of a private reading. What are your feet like then?
Oh, mine are wide, hardworking, always on the go, can't sit still, have to be doing something all the time, but fairly unblemished, yeah. I look after them well.
It's fascinating. We'll come back and we'll talk more about you, how you got to be into this as well. And you've got your workshops coming up, haven't you?
Yeah, 16th and 17th of March, I'm going to be teaching a group of reflexologists how to do foot reading. And it's at the Red Cross Centre in Woodbridge.
Okay, and so you've got a website, so footreading.com if people want to book in and find out more. We'll talk more then to Jane in just a minute or two. So it's amazing how time flies when you're talking about your feet, doesn't it? We'll catch up and find out more in a minute. My guest on the sofa is the foot reader Jane Sheehan. You may well have seen her on telly, because you have read all sorts of famous people's feet, haven't you?
Oh, I have, and it's always been fun because I never know until I get to the studio what's going on.
You think, who am I? Don't?
One of my favourite ones, we were on This Morning on ITV, and they said, right, and now we have our mystery guest. The next thing you know, Alan Carr jumps over the sofa, lands next to me with a thud, whips his shoes and socks off, and he painted his toenails bright orange.
So did that say anything about him anyway?
Oh, yeah.
Extrovert.
I had to learn nail varnish colours because I was doing some work with Bourjois Cosmetics, and they announced the day before that I was going to do the readings, they were going to give everyone a pedicure and nail varnish first. And I thought, no, you'll lose all that information. So I learned to read nail varnish colours as a result.
So the colours you have say something, does it,
yeah,
as well?
What if you paint it on your toenails, you're advertising what you want more of. So the colour you pick, using colour theory, the colour that you pick says what you want more of. So Alan's was perfect for him because orange says, I want more fun. I want to be the life and soul of the party.
So
it was perfect. But, you know, I said to him, Alan, usually I read nail varnish colours, but I think on a bloke it means something completely different.
So how did all of this come about? Because you didn't, I mean, you went to school and uni and all those things sort of fairly conventionally, didn't you?
I know. If you'd have told me then that when you grow up you're going to be a foot reader, I'd have laughed you out of here. See, it's not your average career trajectory.
I don't think I've met another.
No, it was... my friend Claudine fancied having reflexology for her birthday, and I didn't even know what reflexology was then. So I turn up at the beauty parlour thinking we're going to have a beauty treatment, and they're working on her and they're telling her all about her health, and I'm thinking, well, I know that, but how do you know that? And then when it was my turn, I kept, every time they touched my big toe, I kept having tears streaming down my face. And it was dreadful because I never cry in public. And it was repeated every time she touched that point. And the same happened on the other foot. So I'm thinking, this is mad. What's going on? So after my treatment, I had to learn more. So I learned reflexology. Loved it. Started practicing on anyone and everyone who'd let me. But I was still looking for, why did I have that emotional reaction? And also, why were my clients having their emotional reactions? Because I was seeing, emotional reactions in them. So eventually, after a lot of looking, I found a guy who'd interviewed 5,000 people about their toe shapes and personality. And he came up with a toe alphabet, which I memorised and started using willy-nilly. And eventually I was asked to do a school fundraiser. So I rock up in my scruffs thinking I'll be serving tea and coffee. And they say, no, that's your stand over there. So kind of talk about jumping at the deep end. I was reading people for donations. We didn't even know what to charge in those days. And because they're paying for it, they're taking it so much more seriously. So no longer is it the party trick, but now it's got a therapeutic value because they're listening to everything you're saying and even acting on it, which is a bit worrying. So I then went and got further training in counselling and hypnotherapy, timeline therapy, lots of other things that I could use in conjunction with the foot readings. And then I started doing foot parties and I've done PR stunts with it.
So does anyone else do it? Are you the only...
Well, I've been teaching it. In 2003, I taught my first group of students, and then I've been doing it almost every second weekend ever since. So there are a lot more people out there doing it, but a lot of them hide it behind the reflexology. So you'll go to see your reflexologist. They'll be working points on your feet, thinking about your physical health.
And that's meant to relate to every part of your body, reflexology, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, you've got reflex points for rebalancing the body. So they'll be thinking, well, I know that's out of balance, but it's not a physical issue. There's no symptoms. What else could it be? I know it's emotional. So they can use the foot reading skills in conjunction with the reflexology skills. And so a lot of them are doing it kind of therapy through the back door, just using it on the quiet. Whereas I use it in its own right. I'll just sit there, read your feet, tell you what your feet say. And if necessary, I'll bring some other skills into play as well. But it depends how I'm doing it. If I'm doing a foot party, then I'll keep it light and I'll play it for fun and you know, everyone will go away having enjoyed it. But if I'm doing a one-to-one with someone, then I'm more likely to allow it to go into a therapeutic situation because that's what the person's paying for and expecting. Yeah,
I'm one of these people who's a bit sceptical, to be quite honest, about most of these things, and I can't see how having sort of used your feet for all these years, how the way they bend can be to do with your emotion. I would have thought it was more to do with how much weight you have, the shoes you've worn, how much you use them, all those things.
All of those things are factors, but I'll simplify it further. When you're angry, how do you walk? And when you're happy, how do you walk? And when you're depressed, how do you walk? And over time, those variations in your posture will have an impact on the feet. And that's what I'm picking up on. But I also think you pick your shoes based on your personality as well.
So it all links together. And have you had people over the years then that listen to what you say and try and change maybe what they're thinking, how they're about? And have you seen a change in their feet?
Even more than that, and we saw it last weekend, I was teaching in Peterborough. And as we're reading each other in the day two, the practical half of the workshop, as we're reading what we're seeing, that person is thinking about their situation and we start seeing changes, involuntary changes in the feet. So we were talking about one lady about her thoughts, beliefs and ideas and about how she's very sensitive, but she won't let on that if someone hits a nerve, she won't let on that it's hit a nerve, she'll change the subject. And she said to us, absolutely, I will not lock horns with anyone. I don't think it's worth it because I know what I believe and it's up to them what they believe. But as she said it, her third toe started twitching. And the third toe right foot is all about the past to do with her work situation. So I said, that's not the case in the past to do with your work situation, though, is it? And she went bright red. She said, well, no, maybe not then. But her subconscious was having reactions that were giving us the clues that we could further interpret. And she'd not be aware that she's doing it, but it's really obvious if you're looking for it. And other things like I've been talking to someone recently about how she was bending over backwards, doing too much for others, not enough for herself. And I'm not saying it with judgment, you know. What does it matter to me if she carries on doing it? You know, we all need someone who will help out from time to time. But as I'm saying it to her, you could see her taking it on board and she was thinking along those lines of, yeah, why do I do that? Maybe they could do something for themselves. So she's starting thinking, I'm watching the muscle on her big toe, which I'm reading the angle of lean of the big toe for this, starts twitching and it starts straightening more than it was a minute ago. And I'm looking at that and thinking, oh, yeah, she's making her mind up to do something differently. So I pointed it out to her so she could see for herself. And she was absolutely delighted. And I get letters from people sometimes. And I'm remembering one I had in Lincolnshire. She was saying, I now look at the gap between my big toe and my second toe every day. And some days it's wider and some days it's narrower. And it correlates with when she's having major delayed reactions between logic and emotion and when she's actually making immediate snap decisions.
So what does the gap mean?
A gap is a delayed reaction between those two energies. So big toe is thoughts, beliefs, ideas. Second toe is feelings. So logic and emotion are working
separately.
So when
they're not working together.
The bigger the gap, the bigger the delayed reaction.
It's really interesting, isn't it? And it's sort of taken you all over the world, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah. I've worked in Dubai, San Diego, Hawaii, and loads of places in Australia. I've done a couple of trips to Australia. But I have to say, the most amazing experiences that I had were in Dubai. And it's in a country where I was working in the Dubai Ladies Club, which is like a Muslim ladies club where all women. And so I had the privilege of working with the people there. And normally they wear full abaya. You know, when you're out and about, normally they're in full abaya with just their eyes, yeah, the feet, the hands showing. But when I was teaching them, because we were in an all-women environment, then they didn't have to wear it there. So it was really interesting to get to know them really well. But then I'd finish work and I'd go back to the hotel and I'm back in an environment where everyone's all covered up. And it's, if you're not used to it, like in this country, we don't tend to dress like that. If you're not used to it, it can be off-putting, to, like a barrier to stop you talking to someone when they're just humans like us after all. So I'm in the lift and there's a lady stood in the lift with her chaperone. And I look down at her feet, and like you, she's got an elongated second toe. So I turned around to her and I said, excuse me, I said, I hope you don't mind me saying this, but you have natural leadership qualities. And if you're not in a leadership role, you'll become bossy. And she just guffawed. She thought this was really funny. She said, how do you know that? So we start talking about her feet. We get invited for coffee and we carry on the conversation. And it's like making friends in a way that I probably never would have spoken to her ever if I didn't have that beginning conversation. Whereas when we were out there, we could just look at people's feet and do foot reading left, right and centre, even if they don't know we were doing it. And it was really good fun.
So they're not covering up their feet, but they're covering up the rest of their bodies, yeah, which is interesting. And yet, yeah, a lot of people are quite shy about their feet, aren't they?
Yeah. I think Richard and Judy did a survey once about how people feel about the feet. And they said 8 out of 10 people answered that they hated their feet.
Sarah was really, she doesn't like feet. And she was quite brave to take her shoes and socks off.
I can understand not liking other people's feet, but I can't understand not liking your own feet. Because I ask people, how do you feel about your feet? And I listen really carefully to their answers. And then I hear it as a metaphor for how they feel about themselves. So if you've bored and at a loose moment, ask the people in the office with you how they feel about their feet and see all the answers you get back. And if you hear it as a metaphor, you learn a heck of a lot about their self-perception.
Someone who's not too keen on their feeling, is they're not liking themselves too much
well,
at that time.
I get them to be more specific. One of my favourites is, what specifically don't you like? And then they drop themselves in it big time.
I can't remember what Sarah said this morning. She did say something in particular. I could learn, I'd like, oh, she's giving me horror looks at the moment.
She won't admit it now. She knows no, how we interpret it.
No way she's going to tell us anymore. Yeah. Oh, she says they are horrible.
Well, you know the actress Penelope Cruz? In an article, she was asked what part of her body does she hate the most? And she points to her feet, and out come the excuses. When I was young, I was a dancer, and my feet are all gnarled and ugly. Well, I've seen pictures of her feet, and to be quite frank, no, they're not. They're not gnarled and ugly, so that has to be self-perception. So I'm thinking, OK, if we meet her, we're not going to say, hi, you look gorgeous, because if that's how you feel about yourself, you're not going to hear the compliment. And then in the same article, they say, what part of your body do you like? And again, she looks at her feet and starts twiddling her toes, like waving her toes at them. Well, the toes for me, in reflexology, the toe pad is the brain area. And the neck of the toe represents the kind of the throat, the voice, the neck. So I would read it as she likes her opinions and expressing herself. So if we met her, I'd say, what's your opinion about this? And then we'd have a much better start to our conversation. So kind of knowing a bit about how to read feet helps you know how to make that first approach with a person.
I was going to say, have you done psychology?
Well, because of this, I've got really fascinated by psychology and I've read tons of books on it and I really, really enjoy reading about it. But the more I learn, the more I think how fascinating we are as a species, you know. And I was thinking about we wanted to get a newspaper interview in London and we kept ringing the guy up and he kept kind of saying no, not interested. So in the end I had a chat with Alison, who does my PR, and I said, what's he like, what do you know about him? So we did a photo fit of what his feet looked like based on his personality as we'd got to know it over those phone calls. And that helped us get the interview.
Did you get it right?
Yeah. But if you know, it should work both ways, shouldn't it?
It should work both ways.
If you can read someone's feet to know their personality, surely if you know their personality, you can figure out what their feet are going to look like.
That means you're very comfortable in what you do as well. You obviously really believe what you do.
Oh, for sure. I've had enough backup. You know, in my early days, what I realised is some of the words that I said were a shade of meaning out. You know, if a lady's in a twin set of pearls and she's got her little toe on its side, like we saw earlier, I wouldn't say to her, you're rebellious, because rebellion to her might mean swearing and spitting and she wouldn't do that. But if I change the word rebellious to unconventional, you know society's rules, but you've worked your own set out and they're the ones you live by, then she'll resonate with it. So over the years, I've got better and better and better at finding the appropriate word to say what I want to say.
So how old were you when you started your foot reading?
I'm 47 now and I'm not very good at maths, but I started in 1999. And I'm 47 now, so how many years is that?
It's 30-something, early 30s, wasn't it? Yeah. Early 30s. It's quite interesting, because you've done loads of other things, haven't you, in between? A long list of other jobs.
Yeah.
I'm dying to know what induction heat sealing machine manufacturer. How did you end up doing that?
Oh, that's fun. You know when you open your milk in the morning to pour it on your cornflakes?
Yeah.
That foil that is underneath the cap that sticks and seals the top of your bottle. We made machines that used a magnetic induction field to seal that foil to the top of your bottle. So you have like a polymer film between a sandwich of some aluminium. And so when you pass it under the magnetic field, the aluminium gets hot and then the polymer melts. And because of the downward pressure of the cap, when it rehardens coming out the other side of the coil, it seals it to the top of the milk bottle. And so I was selling those machines for a company before I became a foot reader.
And what else did you do? Because you did various things. You were even in the Foreign Office early on.
I worked for the Foreign Office. That was one of my first jobs. And I worked for Lady Young and Lord Glenarthur. And then I got posted to Malaysia and I worked in the British High Commission. And then when I came back...
You were only 19, weren't you, when you were in Malaysia?
Yeah,
What was that like?
Oh, it's amazing. Imagine, there I am, late teens, and I've got a maid looking after me in the house, you know, doing all the cleaning, and I've got a guy who washes my car, and I'm going off to work, and my family live the other side of the world, and I'm just getting on with it. We had an absolute ball. It was wonderful. But I think youth is wasted on the young, because knowing what I know now, I wish I'd done a lot more travelling in the country I was in and spoken to a lot more locals. And, you know, you don't know all these things until you're older and wiser, do you? But we certainly made the most of it while we were there.
What else have you done?
I've worked for an avionics design engineer and we used to make video enhancement modules so that when the police helicopters are flying over, if they're at a certain level, you can still hear them, but they had to be at that level because they were using an analog signal to record what was going on below, because that was admissible in court. We did an analog video enhancement module to allow them to fly higher so you couldn't hear them on the ground. And it was still
like they still do what they're at.
Yeah. So yeah, that was an amazing time. I spent 4 years with that company. What else have I done? I've done marketing and PR for a PR agency. And that's where I met the lady who now does the PR for me. And I remember when I first started doing foot reading as a career, I rang her up and I said, I want you to do me a favour. And she said, what can I do that you couldn't do for yourself? And I said, sell me. She said, oh, okay.
Very good.
So the first job she ever did for me was to ring up this morning and get me on the show.
So she went out. Well, she obviously was the right job then, wasn't it, as well?
Yeah, she was really good.
And you do, because your last book was about business as well, so you've sort of become an expert in that field, yeah?
I think if I've learned anything, the thing that gives me the greatest joy is sharing what I know and serving other people, helping other people out. And what I've noticed is over the years I've been teaching, the questions the students asked me had started changing. And instead of asking me about foot reading, they were saying, Jane, do you think I should advertise in this place or that place? And I'm saying, you're asking the wrong questions. And I realised it was time to write a definitive book on how to start and run a holistic therapy business. But with all the stuff that I wish I knew then that I know now. So I've included even things like how to negotiate, because women aren't really taught that. And if you don't know it, how can you learn it? So I've put in things like how to negotiate and what to take with you to a pamper evening, because, you know, we use pamper evenings to give people taster treatments to kind of win new business. And what would you do if you'd never done one before? And what would you take with you? And these sorts of things. And I've put lots of anecdotes in there, not just my stories, but stories of people I know who are in business, about not just what to do but what not to do. So these are one of my friends read my book and said, I've got this lasting image from reading your anecdote of you running round a field at a fair chasing your leaflets flying away in the wind. And it's simple things like, don't forget to take a paperweight to put your leaflets under if you're outdoors, you know.
You learn, don't you? And it's one of those things that can make the hugest difference. So, and these lectures that you're giving in Woodbridge, what are they?
I'm teaching foot reading in Woodbridge at the Red Cross Centre. And on day one, we're going to do all the theory, all the things you need to know, and how, the maps and the meanings of the toes and so on. on day two, we're going to start putting it into action. So we're going to be reading each other. So that's my favourite part of the day, because you get people looking absolutely petrified in the morning thinking, I can't remember anything from yesterday. But I let them use their notes, and it's once you have a need to know, it becomes much clearer. So they read each other. So they're going on a personal journey as the day goes on, because if you hear it once, yeah, fine, I know all about that. If you're hearing it for the third time that day, you're thinking, crikey, I better do something about
must be right.
So we do the foot readings, and then on day two we also do tattoos, toe rings, nail varnish colours, and I've got some photographs of some celebrity feet. So I let the girls at the end of the day have a look at these celebrity feet, and they can interpret for themselves, and so they're all shouting our answers, and then I show them who the celebrity
are.
Is and see if it concurs with what they thought they knew, you know.
So, do you need to be a reflexologist to have done this?
No,
or could you do it
not at all. No, I've taught children, I've taught two blind people so far. You don't need any therapy skills, but I would say if you didn't have any, once you start doing it, it whets your appetite to want to go and do loads more. So yeah, I can teach people who've got no prior foot knowledge. And in fact, most reflexologists haven't got the knowledge I'm going to teach them, so they're not even at an advantage.
It sounds really interesting. And is the best way to have a look at your website?
Yeah, footreading.com. And we've got a seminar page, so they can see on there where I'm going to be. But we've also got another section called Free Stuff, which everybody likes. And we've got there the top 10 secrets your feet reveal about you. And we've got a free newsletter with different articles for about different therapies, not just foot reading. I think this month we've got something about light, colour light therapy, and we've got eating by colours, so we've got a theme of colours this week.
Sounds lovely. Yeah. So that's at footreading.com. I'll put a link on my Facebook page, and it's the 16th, 17th of March. It's the Red Cross Hall in Woodbridge, you said.
That's right,
as well.
Yeah.
So if you're interested, find out more. It sounds absolutely fascinating. I've been really interested, and I'm a sceptic, look. I bet you love the summer as opposed to the winter, don't you? Because everyone's feet are on show, aren't they, then?
Yeah, you can imagine when I'm travelling around doing my workshops, when we go for our lunch hour, I like sitting in the cafes and watching people walk past and think, oh, look at that.
So if you see any woman peering at your feet,
you
watch out.
Why.
It might be Jane Sheehan. Jane, thank you for coming in.
Thanks so much.